I want to invite you to stand as we get ready to enter into the teaching of the Word. Opening up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Verse 26, Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Our theme today is a true encounter with Jesus. A true encounter with Jesus. How many know that each and every one of us need a true encounter with Jesus? Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 34. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Verse 31. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. This is a story that you will find in three Gospels. It's told a little different in the different Gospels, but here in Matthew chapter 20, we see that it identifies two blind men that had an encounter with Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. We pray that it would land in our hearts and draw us closer to you, O Lord. Lord, if there's any one of us here today that we have missed out on what a true encounter with you looks like, I pray, Father, that we would not leave this place the same, but that an encounter with you would change our lives forever. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. A true encounter with Jesus. If you read a few verses before, you're going to see that there was another encounter with Jesus. You're going to see that the mother of John and James throws herself at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus asks her the same question that he asked the blind men. "What do you want me to do for you?" And her response is, "I would like for one of my sons to sit at your left side and my other son to sit at your right side." You see, these men and this mother, at this season of their lives, they were looking for influence. They were looking for authority. They were looking for favor. They thought that Jesus was going to establish an earthly kingdom, but he was looking to establish a heavenly kingdom. So they were asking to be at his side, not to walk with him and learn from him, but they were looking to rule with him. They were looking to have authority and power. And Jesus tells them, "I did not come to be served, but I've come to serve." And then he illustrates that teaching by walking into the city. And as he's walking into Jericho, the Bible says that a large crowd followed him. And two blind men were sitting close by. And blind men in that season, in that time in history, were considered the low people of their community. Blind men were not allowed to have certain positions. They were not allowed to hold certain places. That's why they had to be outside by the gates begging, right? Something, it is believed that their family must have done something wrong for them to have been blind. And they were bound to a life of begging. They were bound to a life of poverty, a life of need. They were waiting on someone to show them mercy, someone to give them some money, someone to give them some food, someone to give them attention. And as Jesus is walking into Jericho, he begins to illustrate to his disciples that he has come to serve. And as Jesus walked by and they heard that Jesus was walking by, they began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And the Bible says that those around them began to rebuke them. "Shut up. Be quiet." And the Bible says that they began to shout even more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And it's interesting because they were being told, "Be quiet, because this man Jesus, he's too important for you. You're blind. You must have been punished by God. Your parents must have done something wrong. No king would be interested in a blind man. No general of an army would be interested in a blind man. No person of influence would be interested in a blind man. No leader would be interested in them. They were judged already by God, and they are living out their sentence by being blind. And here comes Jesus, showing value to those who the community had no value for. But as they see Jesus coming, they're bold and they say, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what's interesting, this is exactly what the disciples wanted. This is exactly what Jesus also would hope for, that they would recognize him as the Son of David, as the Messiah, as the one that would save the world from its sin. And here Jesus comes in, and these blind men recognize that this is who is before them, the Son of David. And Jesus begins to teach his disciples here that a true encounter is not just for the rich, and not just for the wealthy, and not just for spiritual leaders. No, but a true encounter with Jesus is for all of humanity. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, because he confronts them and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they make a declaration, "We want to see." And the Bible says that Jesus touched them, and immediately they received their sight. Jesus is teaching his disciples, "I have not come to be served, but I've come to serve. And I've come to serve all people, all races, all languages, all cultures. I've come to serve all people." And there's an interesting dynamic. If we go back to James and John's mother, who also asked Jesus the same, Jesus asked her the same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" She walked away with her petition unanswered. But these blind men had their petition answered. They had a true encounter with Jesus. So today, as we look at this story, there's four observations that I want to share with you, four teachings that I'd like to share with you that I hope would impact and touch your life. The first observation is, many follow Jesus, but it was only the blind that received healing. You will notice that a large crowd followed him, but it was only these two blind men that got the attention of Jesus. It was only these two blind men that had received their miracles. Now, many followed Jesus looking for healing, looking for a touch of Jesus. Not even James and John, the disciples of Jesus, got their request answered. But these two blind men received their healing. They sought out God and they found him. It's interesting when we look at why these two men found their encounter. Why did these two men have their miracle? And there's a few observations that we can make here. The first one is, they understood their state of need. Their words were, "I want to see." There is a need in them. They must have understood their personal state. "I am blind and I need a healing, and my cure will only be found in the saving grace of Jesus Christ." They were saying, "I don't have it all together. I need Christ." Today and age, I want to remind you, if you want a touch of Jesus, we must recognize our need. There are some that are so self-righteous and feel like we don't need. We're good the way we are. We have what we want. And I want to tell you that those sometimes never get to encounter Jesus. We must understand our needs. We are blind and we need a touch of Jesus. Many people approach God seeing no wrong in their lives, and they never get to understand or embrace the beautiful things that God has for them, the things that God wants to liberate them from, the things that God wants to bless them. Why? Because we haven't recognized our need. And the church says, many follow Jesus, but it was only the blind that received their healing. Also, there's something special about these blind men. They understood that they were asking for something that they did not deserve. When they approached God asking for mercy, they knew that they did not deserve the mercy. That's why it was mercy. They knew that they didn't deserve a miracle, but they approached Jesus asking for something that they don't deserve. Sometimes people approach God with a sense of entitlement. You know, I've been attending church a long time. I should get. Or I give a lot. I should get. Or there's this sense of I'm a good person, I should get. And we approach God at times with a sense of entitlement, thinking that we deserve miracles. But when we truly understand who we are and who God is, the only thing that really comes out of our mouths is this: Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a needy person, I'm a sinful person, and I need you. And what I love about these blind men, why did Christ give them the attention and not the multitude? Well, first, they understood their state. They also understood that they were asking for something they didn't deserve, but they understood who Jesus was as well. They recognized that there was none other like him, that he was the Son of David, that he was the Messiah, that there was something special about Jesus, that he could heal and he can give mercy to those who don't deserve mercy, and he could be gracious with those who don't deserve grace. And I love that he did not subject them to the law, but he condemned the law at that moment, and he gave them mercy and he gave them grace. See, they understood who Jesus is. Today there are many that sometimes we're like, how come others get it and I don't? There are many sometimes that feel that they're part of the multitude. I never get the encounter. I never get that special touch. I never get that special thing. And we feel like others get it, but we don't. I would encourage you today perhaps to recognize our need. To recognize that we don't deserve it. And truly come to understand who Jesus is. You see, a personal declaration of who Jesus is will always give us an audience with him. A true declaration of who Jesus is will always bring us before his presence. The blind man shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus came to their need, came to their attention, because they recognized who he was. God's mercy is only for God's people. God's mercy and God's grace and God's blessing is only for those that recognize who he is. There are many that say, but God never speaks to me. And God never answers my petition. And God never talks to me. God's mercy and God's grace and God's leading is for God's people. And the church says, and I know that sometimes that's a hard statement to make, but look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. You were once not a people, but now you are God's people. You were shown no mercy, but now you have received mercy. There are many that say, I haven't seen God's goodness. It's only once we recognize God's greatness that we can have an encounter with his goodness. It's only once we recognize who he is that allows us to have audience with him and recognize who he is and what he's doing in our lives. These men recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. And Jesus opened up the floodgates of heaven and asked, what can I do for you? And at that moment, they received the grace that they needed. God will always be willing to pour his mercy on his people. His grace on his people. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That means that at any time, we could approach the throne of grace, recognizing who God is, who Christ is, and receive grace for the opportune moment. If we recognize God's sovereignty, if we recognize God's authority and God's goodness, His mercy will flow from His sovereignty, His goodness, and His authority for each and every one of us. And the church says, a true encounter with Jesus. Our first observation this morning is many followed Jesus, but it was only the blind that received healing. Number two, our second observation, some tried to discourage them. I want to tell you today that some will try to discourage you. When you seek God, some will try to discourage you. The Bible says the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." I have found that in life, there are some people that try to discourage us. Some will try to encourage, and some will try to discourage. And the ones that try to discourage are a lot less than the ones that are encouraging us. But sometimes those that are discouraging us, although there's not many of them, it sounds louder in our ears than those who are encouraging us. But I want to let you know here today that as you seek God, some will try to discourage you. Some will try to come against you. Some will try to tell you you're wasting your time. But that is at the moment when you should scream even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It's in those moments when you need to recognize, no, I will not let the enemy discourage me. I know that God's grace and God's mercy and God's favor and God's leading is for me. It is for my family. It is for my children. And no one will discourage me from having my encounter with Jesus, because it is in that encounter when my life will change forever. I want to remind you here today to continue forward. Prepare yourself, because when we begin to seek God and we begin to seek His face, things come and try to discourage us. It could be spiritual attacks. It could be attacks from other people. And it could be our own battles. But I want to remind you today that you are more than victorious in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that greater is He who's in us than he who's in the world. I want to encourage you and remind you today that the Bible teaches us no weapon forged against us will prosper. We're called to win. Why? Because Christ is our Savior and we've had an encounter with Him. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. And the church says, so don't be discouraged in your time of need, but be encouraged because you have found audience with Christ. And the church says, our third observation today is don't be afraid to ask. These blind men made the request and they said, "I want to see." Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask whatever need that you may have. The blind men were no longer looking for money. They were now looking for mercy. They were no longer looking for the bread of the day, but now they were looking for a touch from God. They were looking for a miracle. They knew that people around them could give them money, but only God could show them mercy. So they cried even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Those around these blind men felt that they had no right. They were blind, but it was in the midst of their blindness that they found God's grace. And God was interested in them. And I love that in the other story, you will see that when Christ calls them, that people tell them, "Get up. Get up. He's giving you attention." I want to remind you here today that when you ask of the Lord, He's always attentive to your prayers. The Bible says that He's attentive to the petitions of His people. The Bible reminds us that we can lift up petition before the Lord with thanksgiving and with gratitude. Let us not be afraid to ask. The Bible says we do not receive because we do not ask. No matter our condition this morning, don't be afraid to ask. You may feel that I'm not living right. You may feel that I'm far from God right now. What right do I have? None of us here today have any right. We're all beggars that have found bread. Every single one of us have come to the reality that we are lost without Christ, and we never have the right to ask. But it's a wonderful thing to have an encounter with a gracious God that allows us to ask, even in the time when we don't deserve it. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling, man, I'm not living right. I don't have a right to ask. I want to let you know to be bold this morning. And what is the need of your life? What has you blind this morning? What has you discouraged this morning? What is it that you cannot see? I don't see peace in my home. Ask the Lord for a miracle today. I don't see peace in my life, in my matrimony. Ask the Lord for healing today. Perhaps you're struggling with something in your finances and you don't see it. Ask the Lord to touch you. Maybe it's a relationship in your life that you just don't see it. Ask the Lord to touch you this morning, because an encounter with Jesus will change our lives forever. Don't be afraid to ask. He's offering us his presence. He's offering us this opportunity. And it's a wonderful thing to know that our Lord and Savior, he's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign. He's all powerful, and anything that we need is before him. And if he does not give us something, it's only his grace that's keeping us from the very thing that we're asking for, because it's probably not good for us. But don't be afraid to ask. The only requirement that stands before you is to call on him. The Bible says if we call on him, he will answer us. The Bible says if we call on him, he will answer us and he will show us great and mighty things. I love the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 when he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I love that we can come before the Lord, anything in his name. And his name means his will, anything in his will. And I know for sure it's God's will that your home be blessed. I know for sure it's God's will that shalom, that peace would be in your home. I know it's God's will that your children will be blessed and your grandchildren will be blessed. I know that it's in God's will that he would use you to glorify the Father. So let us not be afraid to ask the very things that we know that are in God's will. And he will open our eyes and he will allow us to see our homes blessed and our children blessed. I pray that the Lord will bless 3 generations of every family, right? That we will see God's blessing upon every family. So let us not be afraid to ask, what is the cry of your heart? What is in your heart? What is stirring you up this morning? What is the thing that you don't see? And you're saying, Lord, I want to see this. Bring it before the Lord. Seek his mercy. Yes, it is undeserved, but he gives it freely. Don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord, to humble ourselves and say this, have mercy on me, O Lord. I've shared this story many times before, but there was a time when our first construction where I was just a little afraid. The money was running short and the building still needed more work. And I was afraid. And I came before the Lord and I said, Lord, have mercy on us. And I was transparent with God. I said, God, did I push the church to a place that it wasn't supposed to go? Did I bite more than what we can chew? Humbling myself before the Lord and asking God for mercy and grace. And I've testified it here before. I saw God's hand of provision. And in a matter of a short week, in a matter of about 10 or 12 days, we received over $40,000 in offerings. And I didn't come to the church saying, I'm a little afraid. And I remember that. And God, and in my morning prayer that next Monday, I remember the Lord speaking into our heart, just saying, your job is faithfulness. My job is to supply every need. I want to encourage you here today. I want to encourage you here today. Don't be afraid to come before the Lord and ask for mercy undeserved. To say, God, I need you. God, I'm broken without you. God, my home is broken without you. Don't be afraid to humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I'm stuck on this addiction and I can't let it go. Don't be afraid to humble yourself before God and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. For if we don't ask, we cannot receive. But if we humble ourselves, knowing it is undeserved, we will find grace and mercy for the opportune moment. And the church says, amen. The last observation I'd love to make this morning is, once you have seen Jesus, follow him. I love that these men, the Bible says, once they received their sight, they followed Jesus. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. The healing of these men brought them to a place of commitment to Jesus, and then they followed him. What would following Jesus look like in this setting? It would be abandon all things, serving people, and living righteous for God, right? I want to encourage you this morning, as the Lord blesses your home, as the Lord blesses your family, as the Lord blesses your children, as the Lord blesses your finances, follow Jesus. I have seen with our own eyes many come broken and needy. Many come lost. I've heard men say, Pastor, help me. I'm in a dark place. I'm in a needy place. And just point them to Jesus. That's all that we can do. We have nothing else to offer. And when Jesus rescues them and he helps them and he puts them in a better place and things get better for them, we see them kind of going back to their old ways again. I want to tell you today, once he's blessed you, once you've seen his mercy and you've seen his hand and you've seen his forgiveness over your life, I want to encourage you to follow Jesus, not just the day of the miracle, but follow him all the days of your life. And you will see God's blessing, not just for the moment, but you will see it throughout your whole life. You will see how God will bless you. And God will keep you throughout your whole life. In these days, we see God offering an opportunity for people to recognize who he is and what he's doing in their lives. And if we do, we will see his power and his might, and we will see how he blesses and keeps us. And in the midst of that, we'll have the opportunity to say, it was Jesus who did it for me. Commit to him and follow him all the days of your life, and you will always see God's blessing. And the church says, amen. As I conclude this morning, an encounter with Jesus will change our lives forever. Many follow Jesus, but it's only the blind that received his miracle. The multitude followed Jesus, but it was only the two that received a touch from him. I want to encourage you here today not to be a part of the multitude, but to be a part of the ones that have an intimate relationship with Jesus, an intimate conversation with Jesus. And you know the awesome thing about that? You don't have to have a status of righteousness to have that. You just have to have a humble heart to recognize your need, to recognize that you're somebody that without Christ, you're blind. Know that. But there's too many of us that we're part of the multitude at times, and we miss the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. I want to remind you also that in this encounter, some will try to discourage you. Some will say, why follow? Why do? Why give? Why serve? And they'll try to discourage you. And sometimes we'll even think we're not worthy. We don't deserve. Others think that we're not. But know this, know that Christ reached you right where you are in your place of need because he is interested in your life, in your home, and in your family. So today would be a day that you would say, yes, no one will discourage me. I will follow Jesus. Don't be afraid to ask. Whatever your need may be, for these blind men, it was their sight, it was to see. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to come before him broken and humble and needy, seeking mercy and grace. Whatever your need is at that moment, you will find Christ. We don't receive because we don't ask. And once you have seen Jesus, once you have seen his hand, once you have seen his power and his might over your life, the forgiveness of your sins, I want to encourage you to commit to follow Jesus. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A true encounter with Jesus. Not something religious or something ceremonial, but to really recognize that we need God. That we need God. Perhaps you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you and you feel like there's something off in my life. A spiritual blindness. And you feel like God is speaking to me. He's dealing with me. He's reminding me that He doesn't want me to be in this state all my life. He doesn't want me to be in this state of spiritual blindness all my life. That He's calling me to see. He's calling me to enjoy life. And it begins with a true encounter with Jesus. Don't be a part of the multitude. Be a part of those that get to talk with Christ. Remember, some will try to discourage you, but you are more than victorious through Jesus Christ. Come before Him today and ask. Say, Lord, would you heal me? Will you liberate me? Don't be afraid to ask. God, my family needs you. Would you save us? Would you help us? Don't be afraid to ask. God, I'm stuck on this addiction and I can't let it go. And once you have seen the power and might of Christ, follow Him. Follow Him today and every day of your life. And I promise you this, that your future days will be better than your past days. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reflection of your word this morning. I pray, Lord God, that it would land in our hearts, that someone today would leave understanding that you're speaking to them, that you're calling them, that their state of spiritual blindness, Lord, is not what you have ordained for their lives, but you have walked into their lives today. And you have asked them the same question that you have asked the blind men. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It is only a question that an all-powerful God can ask. It is only a question that an all-powerful God can answer. And you have approached us this morning, Lord, asking us, what do you want me to do for you? I pray, God, that we would open our hearts to be bold and to answer and to say, I want to see. And at that moment, we will have an encounter with you, O God, that will touch and change our lives forever. Father, I pray this morning that as you speak into our hearts, that we would answer in a way that honors and pleases you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you are here this morning and the Lord is speaking to your life, if you're here this morning and you feel like, that's me, I've been sitting in the outskirts of the city. That's where the blind men begged. I've been on the outside. And I feel like God is calling me this morning. As we sing this next song, I want to encourage you to be bold and come to the altar. And we want to pray with you here today. And if you're part of the church and you need prayer to help you apply the teaching to your life, also the altar is open for you this morning. And if you're here today and you're saying, the Lord is speaking to my heart to be bold and to ask to receive His mercy and His grace, an encounter that will change my life forever. As we sing this next song, we invite you to join us here at the altar. We want to pray with you this morning. God bless you. God
praise you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.